This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, good morning, everyone. Austin Bechtold with you. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, taking you until 1 o'clock. I am in for Bob today. Bob will be back with us on Monday on the Pomp and Joe Show, enjoying... Pomp is just so busy. I can't even keep track of where Pomp is today, but he's busy doing some great things. So good to be able to fill in for Bob today and stick around after Bucko Talk. Austin Bechtold with you. We'll talk to Nick Faribault at the top of the hour at noon. We'll get his take on, man, everything going on in the world of Steelers. Chris Olave, enter the chat. He has been entered into the group chat of potential Steeler wide receivers as Adam Crowley made news yesterday. Crowley just tweeting out, Chris Olave. Pony took it and ran with it, saying that the Steelers are working on a deal for Chris Olave. Wow, that tweet got, about 8,000 likes. Couple million impressions. Chris Olave, Steelers, Saints, rumors. They have no quarterback. Derek Carr retired. They're hedging their bets on Tyler Shuck, the 26-year-old Louisville quarterback who might have some shades of Brandon Whedon, who was 28 when he came out and the Browns drafted him. Except that was, what, a first-round pick? I digress. New Orleans is a disaster. They are a tire fire. They need picks. But at the same time, would they be willing to trade a 24-year-old former first-round pick in Chris Olave in a good pick, 11th overall from Ohio State? We know Ohio State wide receivers typically work out. Would they be willing to trade that guy? He sounds like a building block for you if you're New Orleans. If you're the Steelers, sure, I would do it. Now, at the same time, what's the price for Chris Olave? Dynamic wide receiver. 1,000 yards his first year, 1,000 yards his second year. Was banged up this previous year. That could be one reason why the Steelers might not want him. Ross Jackson covers the team, covers the Saints out in New Orleans for Locked On, also for LouisianaSports.net. He tweets out yesterday, right before noon, Steelers traded a second and a sixth for DK Metcalf. I doubt the Saints would even entertain anything involving Olave for less than a second round pick. Chris Olave has had 4 concussions in his NFL career. 1 in his rookie year. 1 in his second year. Again, banged up with concussions last year. Season-ending injury in November due to a concussion. Now, the concussion issue's huge concern. Huge issue with Chris Olave. It's a problem. You cannot completely throw it out the window and take it for nothing. That's a problem. Now, at the same time, Sidney Crosby had a season-ending concussion, and he was able to fight his way back. Just because Chris Olave has had these concussions does not mean that he's not a worthy trade candidate. If I had the pick of the litter of these wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Chris Olave, especially age-wise, Amari Cooper, problems with drops, he didn't fit into the offense in Buffalo. Chris Olave would be my pick. Really good college wide receiver, productive pro wide receiver with Derek Carr, who I don't think is that great of an NFL quarterback. Very unfortunate that he had to retire due to injury. At what, 33, 34 years old, had a chance to still be able to play, probably had a couple of good years in him. Not like playoff years or anything like that, but an average NFL quarterback. Almost won the MVP years ago with the Raiders. Chris Olave is the type of guy that you target. 24 years old. Yeah, he's coming off of an injury. Does that mean his value would be lower? You have to be concerned. If he gets all checked out and your doctors approve him, how big of a concern are the concussions? Because that is a problem. A second round pick? A second round pick. And Ross Jackson in New Orleans saying, I doubt Pittsburgh is looking to cough that up after the DK Metcalf trade. A second round pick for Chris Olave. And they said that would be anything less than a second. The Saints would probably be wanting a first-round draft pick for Chris Olave, their talented wide receiver. There is not a chance in hell that I would do that. Even though I like Olave, I think he's a productive receiver, you put him in a better offense than New Orleans, whatever they have going on down there with no offensive weapons, their running game is okay. Kamara's been, a really good running back for them. Their offensive line is not what it used to be with Drew Brees. You take Chris Olave out of that poor situation in New Orleans. They have no primetime games. No one wants to watch the Saints, which I think is very unfortunate because when they had Drew Brees and Sean Payton, I really liked watching the Saints. Could you take Chris Olave out of that situation, put him here, and he'd be a good receiver? Who's throwing him the ball? Who is going to throw Chris Olave the ball? Maybe that should be the number one problem. The number one problem to address. Is Aaron Rodgers signing? We don't know. NFL schedule makers, do you know if Aaron Rodgers is signing? Nah, we asked the Steelers, and they couldn't really answer it for us. We don't know. We're not really sure. Mike North was on a podcast, and he was answering this. I think this was Kay Adams. Yeah, we don't really know.
You know as much as we know. Look, the last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers' first game with the Jets and then his second first game with the Jets, those were both in primetime windows. I think if we knew anything for certain, you might have seen a Steelers game in primetime in week one. We don't know anything more than you do. At worst, Steelers-Jets is Justin Fields against his old team. At best, it's Justin Fields and Aaron Rodgers playing against their former home. So the Steelers schedule obviously only gets more interesting if a future Hall of Fame quarterback decides to play, but they're still the Steelers. That coach has never had a losing season. They are always in the playoff chase down the stretch. Steelers-Packers still sounds like a football game. I don't think we overindulged on the Steelers. I think their record warrants some national television exposure and their national fan base. And look, those games only get more interesting if Aaron decides to play again. What do any of us know?
Well, what do you know? You also put the Jets as the first game of the year. You could have put the Bears there. You could have put the Colts. Whatever somewhat irrelevant matchup you want to put week one. The Steelers have had some of those. They played Washington. They had the 49ers. I don't mean irrelevant, but more outlandish. You're not putting Steelers-Bills week one or Steelers-Lions week one. No, Steelers-Jets looks like an indication of, yes, Aaron goes back to New York. Justin Fields meets the Steelers. Revenge on our minds. Look at this. What could we have here? Now, you can't really sell the Jets in prime time without Aaron playing for the Steelers. So I think that they were trying to, have their cake and eat it too with Green Bay later on in the year, week eight. The Steelers get Green Bay in week eight, primetime game at Acrisure Stadium. That just smells Aaron Rodgers will be here. But again, we don't truly know. So do you want Chris Olave here when you don't even have an answer on Aaron Rodgers? I would say yes, because he's 24. He's a young receiver you can build around. That's kind of why I think that they still got Metcalf with the unclear quarterback situation and still felt good trading off of Pickens. Metcalf, you have him for 5 years. Olave, you could keep this guy around for a while, pay him a decent amount of money. I don't think he's going to command Metcalf money. Maybe 20. Can you pay Chris Olave $20 million if you wanted to do that? If you bring him in for a year and he stays healthy? Let me take a breath. I'm going a little bit too quick. I'm going a mile a minute. I am a DeLorean going 88 miles an hour right now. To travel into time and try to predict what a Chris Olave Steelers tenure would look like. But I'm not doing it for a second round pick. Hell no. A first round pick? No thanks. Pivot. Go somewhere else. That's kind of what Alan Saunders said, what Nick Faribault said, who will join us at noon, that the Steelers have inquired on Chris Olave. Crowley, great job by him to basically break this news first to where everyone confirmed it, seemingly like an hour, 2 hours after Crowley put it out there. And he was teasing a big scoop that he had. Good on Crowley for that. Is Chris Olave someone who can help solve these problems? I would probably rather, and again, I like Olave. I would do it for a third, especially if it was a compensatory third, or my because my own Steelers third round pick, I look at it two ways. If Mason's the quarterback, they win 6 or 7 games. If Aaron's the quarterback, they win 10 games. That's what I predicted with Pomp and Joe. We did a blind resume, like going game by game by game by game by game. Joe was at 8-8-1. Bob was at 10-6-1. They both predicted ties against Cleveland, of all teams. I guess I really shouldn't be saying much. I predicted a 13-9 Kenny Pickett returns to Pittsburgh Cleveland victory. Whatever reason, the Browns have the Steelers' number in one game a year. Typically, it's been in Cleveland. DTR beats them. Jameis Winston beats them. Whatever. I digress. That's like when little brother beats up on you and is just throwing punch after punch after punch. Little brother gets his own house. And this is not Baker Mayfield in his progressive commercial house. Punching on you and punching on you with quarterbacks that are just so inferior. DTR, Jameis Winston, where we're still hedging our bets and waiting on Aaron Rodgers to get here. Where now the speculation is thrown to Olave. I'd probably rather have Amari Cooper for a couple of bucks. Keenan Allen on a cheap deal in his mid-30s. If you have to give up that type of capital for Olave, sure, I'd love to have him, but you got to give up something to get him. And with 12 picks, the most that the Steelers would ever have in a 7-round draft, they're probably going to end up dealing one. I'd rather hold those right now, unless you can get Olave for a third. Compensatory pick would be great, but probably your own third to trade it, whatever. I'm not giving up a second-round pick. Hell no. Especially when if it's Mason Rudolph throwing him the ball. Like, they have screwed up this Aaron Rodgers situation to a T, where Aaron is still not here. And Olave is a banged-up wide receiver. I'd love to see him here. And again, like I said, comparing it to Sidney Crosby, just because he's had some concussion problems doesn't mean his career is completely over. Now, you have to be able to fully evaluate him before you would do the deal and feel comfortable with bringing him in. But for that price, no thanks. Especially because it might not be the right guy throwing him the football. Like, what are you trying to do this year, Steelers? 412-928-9370. I want your thoughts. Like, what are they doing this year? Kabali went on yesterday with Pony and said he thinks that it's going to be very soon. Very soon for Aaron Rodgers to finally sign. I love Kabali. We all like Kabali. Aaron Rodgers just continues to string this whole thing around. And one thing that I thought was interesting is Kabali said, I believe Aaron Rodgers will be a Steeler by the end of the month. So tick tock, tick tock. 2 weeks from now is the end of the month, May 31st. If I'm sitting here on May 31st, not talking about Aaron Rodgers being the starting quarterback of the Steelers, and minicamp is rolling around, mandatory minicamp, yeah, we'll have some problems. Ian O'Connor, he wrote the book on Aaron Rodgers. His biography says that Rodgers' personal issues that he mentioned on McAfee will not keep him out much longer. Ian O'Connor expects Aaron Rodgers to be with the Steelers for the start of mandatory minicamp. Well, if that's the case, bring in one of these other receivers, whether it's Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper, or if you can get the Saints, if Omar Khan can pull off another trick, a rabbit out of his hat, a stunner, again, for the ages, like they pulled off the Chase Claypool deal to get Joey Porter Jr., get a second-round pick for a wide receiver who was demanding music at practice and would show up and occasionally play well, but would also be a headache off the field. You can get a second for him. You got a third for Pickens, who some people in the league were laughing at you for wanting to trade for. Like, not a chance in hell we trade for George Pickens. And now it's Dallas, the one pointing fingers to get a third-round pick. Okay, I think that's going to be a decent third-round pick. Maybe you flip Dallas's pick to the Saints. Maybe you flip your own pick to the Saints, which could end up being a middling pick. But I'm not doing it for a first, a second. Hell no, when you got to draft a quarterback. I think New Orleans is right to ask for that. But Metcalf's a better receiver, and you give up a second for him. Olave is a good receiver, but has injury concerns, significant concerns, after missing the final 2 months with concussions, four concussions in his NFL career. I like Olave, but for that price, no thanks. Back off. Move in another direction. 412-928-9370. Whew. As I take another breath, we're rolling so far, and you can chime in on fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can tweet me at Austin R. Bechtold, at Austin R. Bechtold on Twitter. You can also tweet us at 937TheFan. Also, your texts are rolling in. I see them. We'll read some of them on the fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's hear from you coming up next. Kabali puts a percentage on Aaron Rodgers signing. How big of a percentage is it? And is Aaron Rodgers better than Mason Rudolph? I heard this yesterday, and it's something that just completely drove me up a wall. And it's the point of, like, what are you watching? And you can make the argument in either regard, in either aspect for this argument. But what are you watching regards to, is this guy better than Aaron Rodgers? Let's discuss. Up next, Austin Bechtold with you. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Chris Olave, ESPN and Fox, thanks for those clips. 93.7 The Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase presented by Sheets. Parents and coaches, send an email to us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And 93.7 The Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Olave in the news as Adam Crowley broke it yesterday. The Steelers engaged in some talks with the Saints on Chris Olave, but I mean, the engagement in that was really not much. It was basically like when you're walking down the street and you see somebody and you just kind of give like a little casual wave, kind of the extent of the engagement, as Nick Faribault, who will join us in just about half an hour, put out there on social media. Source: the Steelers have called the Saints about Olave and they're interested, but they don't expect much to happen here. So what Nick is basically hearing is, yeah, there was a conversation, there was a discussion, there were some rumors that were circulating yesterday, but as the Steelers are interested in him, they're just kind of just doing their due diligence. That's pretty much the extent of this entire thing. And as a result, as the Steelers would love to acquire his talents and doing their due diligence to check in, one thing that Nick Faribault points out is also that he missed 8 games due to concussions last year. Olave, really good player when he can stay on the field. Rookie year, 15 games. He only started 9 of them. He caught 72 balls for over 1,000 yards, 1042 to be exact, 4 touchdowns. 11 starts, 16 games for New Orleans in 2023. Why is he not starting every single game for an offense that is not very good? 5 touchdowns, 1,100 yards. He caught 87 passes. Very productive wide receiver with Derek Carr. He had 138 targets that season. Now, he did have a little bit of a downturn with shaky quarterback play. Derek Carr hurt. Played the first 8 games. Missed the final rest of the way for New Orleans. 44 targets, 32 catches, 400 total yards. He averages, he's a 13 yard per game, or per catch, I should say, receiver. Only 1 touchdown last year, and he's a real threat. Of 22 of his 32 catches were for first downs last year. Like, he is a guy who moves the chains, is productive, a guy that you want in your building. Young, just 24. But the injury concerns are too much, and the I would still do it despite the injury concerns, but that's only if you're getting good value, and trading a second-round pick is not good value. Here is Troy in Mount Washington. What's up, Troy?
Back, Joel. What's up, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. So had to kind of check Tony on this yesterday, and I'm kind of just hearing like kind of the same things coming from you today, a little bit about the Aaron Rodgers situation. This is how I look at it, okay? So we perceive as the media and the fan base and the public that Aaron Rodgers has not told the Steelers anything, that he has not had a conversation with Rooney and Tomlin, and they've kept it close that, hey, you know, I'm going to come back before OTAs. We're just under the assumption and holding on to this fact that Aaron Rodgers is not here, and I think this is more of a us blowing this up. Could you not see that possibly as an avenue that Aaron Rodgers sat with, you know, Tomlin and Rooney, and he said, listen, man, I just don't want to answer any questions about the offseason this year. I don't want them to ask me about Arthur Smith or the playbook or what they're going to do with George Pickens or how about they're signing a DK or what they do in the draft.
You're talking about Rodgers.
I don't want to be bothered. Yes, I just don't want to be bothered with any NFL questions in my offseason. Yes, he's still a topic. Yes, people are still talking about him. But, and you know, he's not obligated to talk to the media right now about his situation. But if he were playing for the Steelers and all the things that the Steelers have going on right now, people would be criticizing him for not spending time with his teammates, for not answering questions about what the Steelers want to do with their future or what they think they're going to do this year. I find it very probable that they have sat down and had a conversation, that each side knows, hey, I'm signing before OTAs. When it's time to get down to football business, I'm going to be answering all the football questions. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be locked in. But until then, let's just keep this on hush so people aren't asking me questions during my off.
Well, I mean, think about this. Think about this, though, Troy. I mean, he went on the McAfee show not that long ago and basically addressed everything. So he already is talking about it.
So have they talked? This is the difference, though, that I was trying to explain to Pony. Are they talking? Are they asking Aaron Rodgers general questions, or are they asking him about the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise? Because if he were playing for us and he would have signed for us, he would be obligated to answer questions about what we think about our team. What do you think about DK? How do you feel about giving up George? What do you think about the defense? How do you think about Jaylen Warren? What are how Arthur Smith is going to call the plays? He is avoiding all the talk of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and what they're doing right now, which obviously we're talking about a wide receiver one day, trading George Pickens the other, a quarterback the other. There's so many things that we're discussing right now with the Steelers that he would have to discuss as well if he were to already sign with us.
Yeah, I mean,
so
he did talk He did talk about Metcalf on the McAfee show. He talked about how he likes Pittsburgh, how he likes Tomlin. He did address some of that. I don't think he would be required for a press conference. Like, let's say he signed tomorrow. I don't think there would be a required press conference for him. Maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know the protocols well enough. But I would imagine that he would just not sign until camp, or he would talk until camp.
Do you think that if he signed tomorrow, that there would be more of a national push of when is Aaron Rodgers going to get in there and meet his teammates? When is Aaron Rodgers going to learn the playbook? When is all that talk would now start and pick up? And the Pat McAfee, you got to take that as an outlier, man. That's not someone of the media asking him. That's a friend of his that he has been on his show religiously weekly. He has him a direct question about George Pickens. If there's one person in the entire world that Aaron Rodgers is going to get some publicity to and some media questions to, and he did it only one time because that's all he wanted to do to his friend, is Pat McAfee. I don't think you can compare McAfee to everybody else in the world and all the NFL insiders.
Let me ask you this, Troy.
ESPN asking him questions.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers would be more honest with Pat McAfee or to the media that he just doesn't know? I feel like he was decently honest with everything and upfront on the McAfee show. Like, I think that he would be more open to answer then.
I think this is what the big misconception that people think. I think that Pat McAfee, the friend of Aaron Rodgers, already knows what's going on. They've discussed it, but media friendly, but putting it out on national television, when you're friends with somebody, you go over the questions you're going to ask. You know I'm not going to blow up your story, and maybe, just maybe, when it is time for me to come out and I am going to sign, I'll give you that heads up a day before, and McAfee breaks the story. There's a lot of ways around McAfee only asking him questions that him and Aaron are completely comfortable about, rather than McAfee drilling him on his show. That's not going to happen.
So
McAfee knows he's a friend of the show.
I want to make sure I have everything what you're saying right here, Troy. So you're saying that, like, when he gets to Pittsburgh, when he does eventually sign, that we're going to get all the answers to this when, what, the local media ends up asking him all this, and he'll be more upfront than when he was on other interviews?
He does it. Him, Tomlin, and Rooney have a discussion about when he is going to sign and when he is going to play. In Aaron Rodgers' mind and Mike Tomlin's mind and Rooney's mind, that's all that matters. When he signs, he's going to be talking about the future and moving forward. He's not going to be talking about, oh, so what were you doing in those 2 months that you didn't sign? Those questions aren't going to come. People are going to be happy that he's there, excited for what's going on in the future, and it's not going to be months ahead of time that people get to ask him questions. When they're asking him questions, he's at OTAs. He's throwing balls. He's learning the playbook. He is in the rhythm of the NFL. Right now, he's out of it, and he doesn't want to answer these dumb questions. And as an NFL legend, as an NFL Hall of Famer who is retiring and finishing out his career in the next 2 years, does he deserve it? Sure. I think him and the Steelers organization are on the same page.
Troy, good call. Always appreciate talking to you. I do think that we have a lot of really good media people around here that ask questions, that ask good questions, including our own Jeff Hathorn. Somebody is going to ask, like, Aaron, what were you doing? Like, why did it take so long for you to be able to sign with this team? And we'll continue to take your calls and your thoughts at 412-928-9370. 9370, if you would like to chime in on this. I'm sure that Troy has stoked the fire for a lot more of you to want to talk about this. Where, look, that is one thing where I think we're definitely going to get the answer to. Like, Aaron, why did you just sit in Malibu? Like, what was going on? What was it with your personal situation? And if you don't want to talk about it, fine. But what was the big holdup as to why whatever was going on there? Like, there's no... You would not be in the Steeler building right now. We could give you the playbook. I don't think they've given it to him yet. But basically, a lot of these questions could be answered right now with Rodgers. Like, if he signs tomorrow, and I don't think that do we really need to know his thoughts on George Pickens right now? Like, is there a difference if we know it now compared to mandatory mini camp if he speaks, or training camp or anything like that, and we get the answers then compared to now? I just want him to sign so that it's done, so that we don't have to put up with this anymore. Like, just so that it's over with. Like, Ian O'Connor, his publicist, or his the guy that wrote his biography, really, Ian O'Connor, incredible writer, told Pony that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to sign pretty soon. And it's basically going to be, well, Cabali said, a done deal. Cabali put it at a 99.9% chance that this thing happens. And look, people that compare Mason Rudolph to Aaron Rodgers, this is a different team with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback compared to Mason Rudolph. I mean, think about what Mason did last year, winning two games with the Titans. One that was in overtime against New England. He did beat a bad Miami team. 9 of 17, though, for 85 yards, 53% completion rate. He threw 9 touchdowns and 9 picks last year. They lost to Indy. They lost to lowly Jacksonville, who was awful last year. They lost to Houston. They lost to the Bengals. His best game last year, statistically, passing yardage-wise, 52-14 blowout in Detroit. 266 yards. He threw 2 picks. He threw 3 picks in a 38-30 game against Indy. Those are the two highest passing yard performances from Mason. Their win against New England, he was good. 240 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Let's not convince ourselves. Let's not try to say that Mason Rudolph, just based off of a 3-game sample size, acting as the backup goalie, coming in late in the year to try to save the season, what he did was very good that game that he played against Seattle. Very good that game that he played late in the year against the Ravens JV team. And he went to Buffalo and, you know, they were outmatched, partly due to the quarterback. I thought Mason was okay. Yes, he got him there. We can admit that Mason did a really good job of guiding the Steelers out of the depths of where Kenny's injury put them and Mitch Trubisky just not being an NFL franchise, not being an NFL starting quarterback. We can admit that Mason Rudolph had a good stretch in those 3 games, but also admit that what he had shown previously, not good enough to be a starter. Why are we trying to convince ourselves that Aaron Rodgers, a 4-time MVP that can still sling it, that was playing behind a crap offensive line, that at times, and again, that's not a good offense. That was a dysfunctional team. Was a lot of it due to Aaron Rodgers and the dysfunction that was brought there and maybe wanting Robert Saleh out, bringing his own offensive coordinator in? Yes. Will Aaron Rodgers have power with the Steelers? Yes, but I don't think it's like Woody Johnson handing the keys to the Maserati over to Aaron Rodgers and saying, just don't crash it for us. It's going to be a little bit different with Rodgers here. It would be. It wouldn't be the full control of the Jets. Yes, he'll have some control, but I still think that he can sling it and still play for one more year to either do one of the following. Win them 10, 11 games, win a playoff game. That takes the stigma of 8 years away. Or they're just flat out awful. I mean, that's not the right way to put it. Flat out awful would be like winning 2, 3, 4 games. I don't think they're that team regardless of what happens. But let's say maybe they're a team that gets banged up. Maybe Aaron Rodgers does not get through the season. Maybe they end up having a San Francisco type of year. That positions yourself to draft a quarterback. I don't see the upside with Mason. I think they're a 6 or 7 win team with Mason, and they're a 10 win team with Aaron Rodgers. Veteran that I think would have some audible power at the line of scrimmage. Maybe it's not the full range of power. We know that Mike Tomlin has handicapped and has handcuffed Ben at the end of his career, which Starkey's very adamant about. And the same thing with Russell Wilson, the Arthur Smith offense, they didn't let him cook. Mike Tomlin really wants Aaron Rodgers, or else they would not be doing this this waiting game with Aaron. They would have probably drafted a quarterback a lot higher than Will Howard in the sixth round. More than likely, they would have. But Mike Tomlin is hedging all of his bets. He's putting all of his eggs in his Easter basket towards Aaron Rodgers. This is what he wants. And I don't really think that, you know, the messaging with Aaron Rodgers is necessarily going to change significantly if he signs now compared to when it's going to be. I just want it to happen now so that he can get in there and learn the playbook. Start throwing around with some of the guys. Be at mandatory minicamp. I don't want to see him in Egypt or, you know, doing ayahuasca in, where does he do that at? Costa Rica. So I do think it's a difference, and that's why I'm irritated. I'm frustrated over this, but that's why I'm okay just kind of holding it out for Aaron to get here, because what are your other options? And that's why, like, if you trade for Olave and you give up a second-round pick, if you had Aaron or a viable quarterback, yeah. Like, if you had a more viable quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, if you had a, like, if this was Buffalo, Josh Allen, if this was Kansas City, Mahomes, if this was Baltimore, Lamar, Burrow, Hurts, Herbert, those type of guys, I'd be much more willing to give up that pick. Those are also much more complete rosters. Kansas City, maybe not as much. But right now, you did that for Metcalf. I would not even give up more. And Rodgers, a lot of people don't like him because of his off-the-field things. I try not to pay much attention to that. I try to focus just, what are you doing on the field? And I still think that he could sling it a little bit. And Mason, I think, is a career backup where if he gets a full year, if he gets 10, 12, 13 games, even that, signs are going to be shown that he's just not able to do it. 412-928-9370. We will hear from you continuing up next. And also, what Ryan Clark had to say about Mike Tomlin. I really wish we had some positivity to talk about. And look, I like Derek Harmon a lot. I think he's going to be a good player for them. Roman Wilson, I'm getting more and more optimistic about. I don't think he's a two, but can he be a three for them? Can he break out for them this year? Can he take a step up, which I think they're banking on him to do at 412-928-9370. Can we find some positives in this? Because Ryan Clark, he picked out all the bad. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong in his assessment. 412-928-9370. Austin Bechtold with you. It's the Bob Papiani Show on a Saturday as we approach second base. Halfway home on the Bob Papiani Show with Nick Faribault of Penn Live joining us in 15 minutes on the fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you yell at the radio while listening to us because you think you can do better? I'm sure there are some people out there that think that this is the case. Well, we have an opportunity for you to try and prove it. Come out to the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department on Thursday, June 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. and take part in our Next Up on the Fan Talent Search. We're going to multiple locations this summer to try to find the next top host in Pittsburgh. We'll pick two winners from each location we go to, and one final winner will be the newest part-time talent added to our roster. For more information, including dates and locations, you can visit 937thefam.com. Some positive things, we'll just throw them out there, like T.J. Watt, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Steelers of all time, is still on the roster, and, you know, the unfortunate thing about that is still looking for a contract. I do think that the Steelers will end up getting a deal done with him. You still have Cam Hayward, one of the main faces on the Steelers defense of the 21st century, a Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner. But one thing that really does frustrate me is something that was touched on by Ryan Clark. You know, where is this team going with Mike Tomlin? He said this on First Take with, you know, we'll get to it coming up. Basically about Mike Tomlin and what's his future look like here. But basically, it's not bright. It's also something where has Tomlin just gotten a stale message, similar to what some people were saying with Mike Sullivan. But first, here's Tony in Butler. What's up, Tony?
How are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. Here's what I think's going on, Austin. Obviously, him and the Steelers had a few talks before he came here for that six-hour visit. I don't think there's any way they spent 6 hours trying to come to an agreement about money. I believe that he was telling them he doesn't want to come to minicamp. He doesn't want to do the OTAs. He wants to be able to audible. And if he does sign, I believe he's going to wait long enough that he doesn't have to do any of that.
So you think that he ultimately just wants to skip out on all of it, basically tell the Steelers, like, yeah, I'll probably end up being here, but just doesn't want to go through any of that, what he would consider unnecessary parts of being a part of the team. Like, I think he would want to be here because it's a new team. It's a new organization. It's not like the Jets where he gets to skip out on it. He was already there in the organization for a full year. He should want to be here to get to know everyone, know the system, get accustomed to the city. At least that's my opinion, Tony.
So, Austin, I know he didn't go to camp the first year with the Jets. Did he do it last year?
He had the Egypt trip that I know a lot of people were talking about where he missed. I don't know if it was mandatory mini camp. He missed. There was something that he missed that was like a significant detriment in the eyes of many, and he got crushed in the media for. And I appreciate the call, Tony, where basically, you know, he was thrown to the wolves for not being there and not being able to learn with his new teammates and stuff like that and go through everything. So overall, kind of a situation where, look, we remain in limbo. We remain waiting. We remain at the poach for Aaron Rodgers to show up to the perch and just kind of waiting on him. It's unfortunate, but, I mean, what other options are there for the Steelers? Just go with Mason and hope? Just hope that this season can become something salvageable, unless you are somebody who thinks that they... If I can have half the career that Bob Pompeiani has had, I will be a very lucky man. It's Austin Bechtold, your friend City Limits with you. Here filling in for Bob on 93.7 The Fan. Thanks to Matt Harkins for producing Bucko Talk in the first half of the show. Welcome in Joel Nelson. Joel, good to be with you. How are you?
Likewise, Austin. Doing well, man. How about you?
Doing great. Doing great so far. I've taken you up until 1 o'clock, and we welcome in Nick Faribault to the program. Nick Faribault, one of our favorites, as Joe Starkey likes to call, from Slippery Rock. Our good man.
It's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
No, Nick. Good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Austin. Thanks for having me on, man. I always love our Slippery Rock bit.
Yeah.
Do you think Starkey was playing with you that time, or do you think he was completely serious there?
No, I think he was completely serious, and even though I told him like three times where you were from, I think he just randomly guessed because he forgot, and Slippery Rock is the first thing that came to mind. Funny enough, Slippery Rock has like not come up on the show very much after that.
Dude, listen, man, respect the Slimy Pebble. They've turned themselves into a nice little powerhouse.
I like the Rock. I mean, they've done pretty well athletically, especially their football team has really done some good things. But we digress. All right, Nick, what do you know about the Steelers' reported interest as Crowley lit the world on fire yesterday morning on Chris Olave? And do you think that this is actually something that could happen?
I don't think this is going to happen. And here's where the interest is, kind of speaking, Austin. They called about Chris Olave. They inquired about his availability. And essentially, they were told no. Like, that's basically what they were told. The leaked sources I talked to had a consensus that this would cost a second-round pick and a day-three pick swap. And that's at least. And the Saints don't sound very receptive even to that. Like, the Saints are going to want maybe a first-round pick to move him, which just tells you one thing. They don't want to trade Chris Olave. So I would say Chris Olave is not available for trade, but the Steelers are interested in him and at least called, which tells you another thing is they're looking for help at wide receiver. So there's two ways to look at that, Austin. Basically, what I think is you're not going to see Chris Olave become a Pittsburgh Steeler in 2025. I don't think we're going to see that happen. What I do think we could see happen, though, is a wide receiver addition before the season. Now, that could come before training camp. That could come at the cutdown day. But they're looking at options, free agent and trade. And so wide receiver two is definitely something that they want to address before the season. We'll just kind of see where they can slide in, the guys they could find that are available. But I do not believe Chris Olave is very available right now.
Talking to Nick Faribault of Penn Live, Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen, who's the better fit?
I mean, in terms of fit, I think it's Cooper. But in terms of who's the better player right now, I think it's kind of undoubtedly Keenan Allen. Allen went to an offense last year that was pretty up and down. We know what Shane Waldron's offense was. I mean, you guys all saw the Caleb Williams reports this week where didn't even watch film with him, didn't tell him what to do, just basic things an offense coordinator should do. Allen still put up over 700 yards, but he's a slot-specific guy. I mean, the Steelers have Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. And Keenan Allen's not a guy at this stage in his career that's going to really go outside, play across from DK Metcalf. That's not really what he does. And so I look at what you kind of look at in fit and Cooper's route running, Cooper's ability to play outside, both outside spots play in the slot. It's a better fit. But in terms of pure talent, I think Allen's a better player right now. And Cooper, I mean, didn't even produce in the Bills offense. And he was out-snapped by Mac Hollins. I mean, that's something to note. Austin. He was out-snapped by Mac Hollins in the playoff game.
Mac Hollins, who famously walks into the stadium with extravagant outfits, sometimes barefoot.
Yes, always barefoot, even when it's like -3 degrees.
Oh, always.
He's a crazy guy. He's a crazy guy, man. But like, so the better fit in terms of pure kind of skill set is Cooper, but I mean, he'll also probably be cheaper. But I just think the better player is Allen, so I don't know. If I were the Steelers, I know the fit with Cooper's better, but I'd probably be more interested in Keenan Allen.
Nick, are you at a baseball game right now?
No, I am actually at a card event right now. You know, one of those little card shows that you can get where you can get cards. I collect those. I collect like figurines.
Is that the one in Monroeville?
It is.
I heard about
that. That's where I'm at. So I actually came here and I got a Devin Hester one. So that's pretty cool.
I have like a big collection of them, man. So I was looking to add, and so I got Devin Hester. I was, you know, since I went to Pitt and everything, I wanted to remind you I went to Pitt, by the way.
Yes.
I try and get all the Pitt ones I can get. So I was looking maybe for, you know, a Darrell Revis or James Conner or something. But Devin Hester is a really good addition to the collection.
You got a card signed. Were you able to meet them too? Were you able to meet Devin Hester?
No, but there are some really cool actual. If you're doing autographs and stuff here, there's some really cool guests here. Raleigh Fingers, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson,
wow.
Pedro Martinez. Yeah, big heavy hitters out here today, man.
Yeah, I did hear about that event that they're putting on there. Pretty sweet. Let me ask you about George Pickens. Do you think that it was more so Mike Tomlin being fed up with George Pickens and being the main leader in the clubhouse to get this guy out of here? Or do you think that the Cowboys offering a third-round pick was just too much icing on the cake?
Well, I think it was both, because here's the thing. I think the organization, not just Mike T, but Omar and everyone else, were kind of fed up with him. Listen, you don't trade this guy unless you are 100% kind of done with him, right? That's the big thing. You don't trade a guy like George Pickens, who's uber talented, who's proven to produce. And more importantly, you create a hole on your team that you didn't draft over. You don't do that without kind of being done with his answer. And we saw it kind of play itself out throughout the season, Austin. And so that's really what I kind of think happened here. They got tired of his antics, and they were willing to trade him for a day two pick. Now, no team wanted to offer that during the draft. They would have traded him during the draft, Austin, if they had gotten a day two pick. And they did. And so the Cowboys did it on, you know, last week in the middle of May. And that is really kind of what happened. And so that's why George Pickens is no longer a Steeler. They got fed up with his antics. I don't think there was much else to it. They just thought it wasn't worth the squeeze anymore. There was potential drama ahead in the summer. They weren't going to deal with that contract drama because they weren't going to extend him. They weren't planning to extend him. And so now he's a Cowboy for a third-round pick. And I think that's kind of the simple thing. The league is just not high on him. They view him as a mercurial player. When he hits free agency next year, I mean, I'm not sure any team's going to give him a boatload of guaranteed money unless he showcases he can kind of be trusted upon, have that maturity. So I think that's really what it comes down to here is the Steelers got fed up, got a day two pick. That was the value they sought, and that's why he's gone.
Now, when you evaluate the quarterback position and the idea that Aaron Rodgers could be here in the next week, the next month, do you know anything different than we know just a week ago? And will Aaron Rodgers be here by the start of mandatory minicamp?
Listen, I've been trying to figure out the timeline for Aaron Rodgers for months, right? It's been 2 months now, and I just don't think I can pin that down. You know, I don't think the Steelers necessarily 100% know. Now, I think they would anticipate him being here before mandatory minicamp. I think that's kind of what they expect. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because the Steelers expect that doesn't mean it's going to happen. And so I think Rodgers is definitely going to be a Steeler. I just think it's going to be a question of when it is. Could it be during that big time break between mandatory minicamp and training camp where he signs? Sure, it could be. We know what happened last year with the Jets when he missed mandatory minicamp because he had a pre-planned vacation to Egypt. So there's a lot of things. If he wants to be off the hook for that, sure, he might not sign until after that. But I think the expectation right now within the organization is that he will be here before mandatory minicamp and he will be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we'll kind of see how that plays itself out. Their expectations sometimes don't always match up. I think they expected to land Brandon Ayuk last year, too, and obviously they did. So we'll see what happens.
Could they go and trade for Brandon Ayuk and try that again? Would that be fun?
Listen, I mean, I suppose Ayuk could be available. And I can't rule that out because Brandon Ayuk really did rub people the wrong way, Austin, in that 49ers organization. With how ugly that got, he rubbed some people the wrong way, and they were going to trade him. If Kyle Shanahan didn't run upstairs and tell John Lynch, don't pick up the phone, don't trade him, Brand's going to sign our deal, he would have been a Steeler. And so that is really what that comes down to is they're offloading salary. They're going to be up against the salary cap because you saw the huge contract they just gave Brock Purdy yesterday.
Overpaid. Overpaid. What are they doing, Nick? What, $53 million?
You look at that, and he's getting paid less than Tua, and you're like, what did the Dolphins do? it's a crazy contract. But because of that, they're shedding salary. And so some guys are going to have to go, and maybe Ayuk's one of them. They traded Debo already, but they didn't really draft like they were trading Ayuk this year. So my guess is he probably doesn't get traded for anything less than a day two pick. Coming off a multi-ligament knee injury, I think that's a little hard to sell at $30 million per year, even if the last time we saw Ayuk on the field, he was a really good player. So really, to me, I think Ayuk's one of the lesser options for the Steelers. If you want to look at who they could trade for, Austin, I mean, look at Green Bay. Look at Romeo Dubs or Dontavian Wicks. I wouldn't expect that to really have movement until later in camp when kind of they get clarity on Christian Watson's ACL recovery and they decide who's in the rotation, who's out of it. But that feels more likely to me as something that could percolate up later in August.
Do you think they'd have any interest in Watson, but or because of the injury, just not even consider it?
I mean, I think they would consider it, but I actually think the Packers would want to trade one of Dubs or Wicks. So if Watson was the guy they decided to make available, sure, I think the Steelers would think about it. I mean, he's kind of the perfect player opposite of DK. I mean, they're similar players, but they're different in some ways too. But I think the Steelers would look at Dubs and Wicks, who are different players completely than Metcalf, and great compliments, especially Wicks. Wicks is a route runner type. That's the type of player I think they would look to. So I think Romeo Dubs, Dontavian Wicks, probably the two names I would watch closer than Christian Watson in that room. But we'll see who's on the inside out in August. I think this probably happens closer to cutdown day than it does to now.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Nick, have you had a chance to chat with Cordarrelle Patterson at all as to why he is still on the roster?
I have not been able to talk to Cordarrelle.
No, you haven't seen him walking. No man on the street interviews with Cordarrelle. He hasn't. You didn't.
I don't even think he's in.
Usually he posted that video of him shoveling snow. Remember that? He's not cutting his grass anywhere.
Yeah, dude, I'm not even sure he's at voluntary workouts right now. I know last year he didn't show up till mandatory minicamp. So, I mean, listen, Cordarrelle is the type of guy, man, that I think is just going to take it with stride. He's a veteran. He's been through this before. I am a little surprised he's still on the roster. I mean, they have 8 running backs on the roster right now, Austin. Someone's got to be on the outside looking in. And usually the Steelers make a few moves before training camp, after mandatory minicamp, sometimes before mandatory minicamp, where they reshape the roster. Would not be surprised if he's among those moves. He's among those cuts. But I'm surprised, to be quite honest with you, that he's still on the roster, Austin. I'm not sure why he's still on the roster.
We're talking to Nick Faribault of Penn Live. Nick, what did you think of the Keanu Benton and Nick Herbig video in the Laurel Highlands that was filmed and Cam Hayward as the Sasquatch for the schedule?
I mean, listen, I thought it was like an interesting kind of idea, but I'm not sure the execution was great. I thought towards the end when they actually found Cam as the Sasquatch, like, it clicked. But getting through like the first 2/3 of it, it was pretty odd.
It was kind of strange.
I mean, especially when you consider, like, some of the other ones that were out there this year.
Oh, the Chargers. The Chargers every year just absolutely dominated in the schedule release video.
Oh, dude.
They completely railed on the Steelers. The track ends in 9 feet, 8 inches to mock 9 and 8. We do not care. They had the George Pickens eye black message. Aaron Rodgers watching as the carts go off the contend or rebuild track. Man, the Chargers were just hammering them.
Dude, they did. It was hilarious. It legitimately was hilarious. And, I mean, listen, the Steelers' one wasn't terrible. There's, like, people that are like, wow, this is the worst schedule release video. And I'm like, have you seen some of the schedule release videos? Trust me, it wasn't the worst one. The Steelers actually try to get creative and try to make something a little fun. The execution of this wasn't there, so it was fine. It was nothing special. It should be better, though. The Steelers should be one of the best social media teams in the NFL, in my opinion. I don't think they're quite there, though.
All right, Nick, what do you make of the schedule? Back end of it is, pretty difficult, especially in the last month plus, where you got to play Buffalo at home, Detroit's factored in, Cleveland, Baltimore's mixed in there again. Not going to be an easy way to end the season again.
Yeah, it's a tough end of the schedule, but it also isn't like last year, where I don't think we're going to see a tougher schedule than what we saw in 24 at the back half. And it wasn't just the fact that you had 6 divisional games plus the 2 teams that went to the Super Bowl, Austin. It was also the fact that you had 2 short weeks. You had a Thursday night game and a random Christmas game. You played on Sunday, I think, 2 or 3 times in that stretch. So it was just short week after short week. odd week after odd week. It was awesome. It was like off to the Richter scale. It like completely threw them off their routine. Everything about that was a mess. I will say, I think the Steelers' early season schedule this year, it's pretty soft. I don't think it's hard at all. I don't think the schedule was as hard as last year's schedule. I thought last year the Steelers had a decently tough schedule throughout. I mean, we kind of learned that because even though they won those games against Denver and the Chargers, both those teams ended up being solid teams. And so the Steelers really kind of had a gauntlet last year. This year, I think their early season schedule is pretty light. And so while they have that really hard end of the schedule, that's just going to be with the Steelers every year, I think, Austin. They're a team that's perennially in playoff contention, and so they're going to be on TV late in the year. And so they're going to face really good teams late in the year. It's just kind of works itself out that way. So the Steelers playing themselves into purgatory have kind of given themselves these tough schedules just because they give the NFL a reliable team to say, hey, that team's probably going to be in playoff contention. That game's probably going to matter. We're going to slot them in there. So that's kind of what it is.
Do you think the NFL knows that Aaron Rodgers is signing, Nick? Like, I think the fact that they had the Jets as the first game that's being played is kind of important. And I also think that the Packers being in prime time at home was also a little bit of a tipping point. Like, I know they've had the Packers at home that they've played them before. But to me, it seems like the NFL is at least hedging their bets that Aaron Rodgers, and they're just covering their behinds in case Rodgers is with the Steelers.
So I think it kind of middle grounds it. I think, you know, I talked with Mike North, who is the NFL VP of schedule and broadcasting, and he made a pretty good point. He's like, this isn't an Aaron Rodgers schedule, and it's not, because even though you have the Jets week one, if Rodgers was actually in that matchup, I would think that would be like a Monday night game. That would be a Sunday night game. I think that would be a primetime game. You look at the Jets' schedules over the last few years, not only do they have more primetime games than the Steelers have this year, but they're playing on holidays. They're playing on themed kind of days. They're playing on different types of standalones. The Steelers have 5 standalone games this year, and they have 2 late afternoon windows. So they're well represented, but that's, I think, just the Steelers brand. It's Mike Tomlin's kind of brand of always being playoff relevant, carrying them. And this is kind of a middle ground option for the Steelers and Rodgers. And I mean, Green Bay versus Pittsburgh, I mean, that sells regardless. It kind of just, as North put it, it kind of sounds like a football game. You know what I mean? Those are 2 iconic brands. They're going to have great ratings regardless. Broadcast partners are giddy for that matchup. So I don't necessarily think this is a Rodgers schedule. I don't think they know anything more than we do about that. I do think Rodgers is going to play, and it might play the Steelers into more flex games. They did schedule a lot of really good games late in the year for the Steelers. The Lions, one of those Ravens games, could easily be flexed to Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, whatever. But I really look at it and say, man, I don't think this is a Rodgers schedule. It's not a clear Aaron Rodgers schedule to me. And so I don't think that they know that Rodgers is going to be a Steeler.
Last thing for you, Nick. I saw this post from Dalton Wasserman, who does a really good job for PFF, but I was surprised by what I saw. He says that the Steelers have the strongest position group in the NFL on the defensive line. What? Do you agree with that?
I think this D-line's great. People were like, I think people are way too low on some of the players they had last year. Listen, let's talk through the D-line, right? You got to consider the outside linebackers in this, too. So you got to consider their 4-deep rotation there. They have T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig, which is a proven, really good top 3. There's no doubt about it. That is one of the best outside linebacker rooms in the league, if not the best. Then they add Jack Sawyer, who's another really high-floor player and is going to give you a run defense. So that outside linebacker room is great. Cam Hayward was an all-pro last year. Keanu Benton, I think, is one of the most underrated players locally. I think people don't realize how good Keanu Benton is. He is close to being a really good player in breaking out and being something serious. Keep an eye on Keanu Benton. He's a lot better than you think he is. I'm very high on Derek Harmon. I like the Danny Wekuale signing. I think he's a really stout run defender. So, listen, I don't know about the best position group, period, in the NFL, but do they have the best defensive line in the NFL? I don't think that's crazy at all when you factor in the outside linebackers, Austin. I think that outside linebacker room paired with the interior D-line room is way better than people think it is. It is now a huge strength for the Steelers, and it's one of those rooms that can carry you when you're struggling everywhere else.
Nick, appreciate the time. Enjoy the autograph show going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Austin. Appreciate it as always, man.
Take care, man. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Joel, the best positional group in all of football. The Steelers defensive line. I like Derek Harmon, and Cam Hayward is a Hall of Famer in my mind. But the best positional group, I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
I think if there was more out of DeMarvin Leal, if he was making more of an impact, I can understand that. But boy, oh boy. It's encouraging, though, a little bit, right?
Well, can that best defensive line in football, according to Dalton Wasserman of PFF, prevent the Steelers from going 0-6 in the first 3 weeks of the year? Well, one ESPN insider thinks that that is possible. Why is he completely wrong and he is underselling the Steelers? You want your positivity? Here it is. The Steelers are not going to go 0-6. Come on now. We'll tell you why. Coming up next, Austin Bechtel with you, filling in for Bob Pompiani. The legend, the Bob Pompiani Show, continues on The Fan. Second annual Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union will take place on June 5th and 6th at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. You could donate now at 937thefan.com to help support local volunteer fire departments in our area. It's brought to you by Cintas, True Green, Don's Appliances, and Hampton Beer Outlet. Austin Bechtold with you on the Bob Pompiani Show, filling in for Bob. Hope you are having a good Saturday. Joel Nelson producing behind the glass. Want to make sure I pay off the tease to what Ryan Clark had to say on First Take about Mike Tomlin and why, well, he should just get up and leave.
And I always, and I say this, and people get mad at me. I believe that Mike Tomlin is unfireable. I believe if Mike Tomlin steps away from being the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that that should be his decision. And I've said time and time again, I do believe that should be the decision he makes. I believe Mike Tomlin should coach in another organization. Mike Tomlin should be a fresh voice somewhere else, because I believe, as great as a coach he is, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, I believe his voice has run stale there. I believe he's allowed that team to reach the highest of heights they're going to reach unless they can get a top-tier quarterback.
So I'm trying to decipher what you're saying.
He needs to go have his Andy Reid Kansas City run.
I think Ryan Clark hit it right, not right, then the nail right on the head, right? I mean, I think a lot of us think that, you know, Mike Tomlin is a good coach. He is. But sometimes the messaging, it dries up. And I feel like that is something of what's happened for the Steelers late in the year. Sure, they're playing really good teams like they did last year, late in the season, but they're not unleashing hell in December. They're falling apart. They're limping into the playoffs. They're getting outscored 73-0 in the first quarter of the playoffs. They're not very competitive in playoff games. They've not had the quarterback to be able to win them playoff games since what? Ben in 2016, 2017, those runs? Like, I mean, 27, they lost a shootout to Jacksonville. They have not been able to consistently put together good enough rosters to the point where things have gotten stale and they've gotten flat and they've been the same thing kind of over and over again. And look, I'm not saying that, look, Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere right now. He's just not right now. Maybe a little bit later on in the year, if things completely go off the rails and at the very end of 2025 this season, maybe something changes and Mike Tomlin just says, look, I've had enough. I'm going to go do broadcasting, or I want to go be the coach somewhere else. Like, what job eventually comes open? Who knows? But if Mike Tomlin ends up opting to do that, that's the only way where I can see him on his own volition wanting to leave. But clearly, Tomlin doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to go. He loves what he does. And I don't think Art Rooney is going to force him out. Omar Khan is not going to force him out. Andy Weidel will not force him out. You know, Mike Tomlin has more security than Bill Belichick, who won 6 Super Bowls in New England. That should not be the case. That should not be the case. Belichick winning Super Bowls in how many different decades did he win one? Like, the fact that they had a dynasty that spanned basically, you know, 2 10-year runs. So impressive in their own right. Tomlin's first 10 years were good. Really solid. Winning playoff games. The last 8 have been an atrocity in terms of what the Steelers' standard is. And for Dan Orlovsky to go on ESPN and say that the Steelers could start 0-6 with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback? What?
Wait a second. Look at that start of the schedule for the Steelers and imagine that Mason Rudolph is the quarterback.
Yeah, and
you know, like with what he's got around him, they would still do well there?
No.
No.
I think you're staring at 0-6 in the face.
I mean, I'm sorry. That is just completely out of hand. That is wild to think. Look, I'm not somebody that thinks that the Steelers are going to compete for a Super Bowl this year. If they have Aaron Rodgers, I think they can win a playoff game. The Jets in New York, followed by Seattle at home, DK Metcalf revenge game. Sam Darnold is still trying to get his feet under him. New England, who was very bad last year, top five, six pick. They do have a new coach in Vrabel. I think Vrabel is going to make a big difference there. Drake May will take a step. I think they probably lose that game in New England, but it's not a definite. The Vikings in Ireland. What that game means to the Roonies. The Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, rookie quarterback. That is a winnable game. Yes, they have a very good roster, but rookie quarterback, they can win that game. Even with Mason, I think they can win it. And then Cleveland coming off of a bye? Starting 0-6, that would include the Cleveland Browns. The lowly Cleveland Browns. With Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders walking into the building. I think the Steelers will split with the Browns. I could see them losing that game. But you're telling me that you really think they're going to lose to the Jets, Seattle, New England, Minnesota, the Browns, the Bengals, and then, oh, they can start 0-6, and then Green Bay comes to town, and they just whoop them at home in primetime. Steelers have been good in Sunday night games. They've been much better in Monday night games. They haven't lost a Monday night game in, what, their last 18, 19 Monday night football games or whatever the stat is. It's an oddity. How good they are in Monday night. I love it. How good they are in Monday night football games, because if it's at home at Acrisure, Heinz Field, whatever, in the history of the Steelers over the last 20-plus years, they're really, really good at home on Monday night. And they've played very well on the road on Monday night as well. That game is later on, Monday night football, that they will play against the Dolphins in Week 15. Now, starting 0-6... You can criticize the Steelers for a lot of different things and say they need to change. They're not going to go 0-6. Like, I would not be surprised if they have a losing record this year. 0-6? Come on. Here's our guy, Robin West Mifflin. What up, Rob? How are you?
What's going on with you, man? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well, Rob, but I'm better because I'm talking to you.
Hey, yo, I wanted to say something about the Pirates, man. How sad it is, man. I'll be watching all this pitching get wasted like this, man. And it's a travesty, man. You know what I mean? That, like, I was talking yesterday before the game, and you would think that, I don't know what Bob Nutting and Charrington is looking at when they keep saying, you know, the help has to come from within. You know, like, we got almost 20-something quality starts out of these guys, man, with nothing to show for it.
Yeah, or what about Jack Sawinski, Henry Davis, Key Brian Hayes, IKF, the guys they're depending on to hit in their lineup. Tommy Pham. Now, but don't worry, Rob. Spencer Horwitz is here to save the day.
Yeah, I don't even know why they think that him and Gonzalez is just going to come here and they're both going to hit 30 bombs and they have 115 RBI or something. I don't know what's going on.
I think Gonzalez is a good player, Rob. I do. I think that he's going to be good for them.
Yeah, he's a solid second baseman. I like him. I'm not, you know, knocking him, but. You need to see what I think. You should have brought a couple veterans in, first baseman, right fielder, to take some pressure off of Ryan Reynolds, man, because he's pressing for real, for real. He seems like he has to do something because he's probably the only one in that lineup getting paid. I mean, like I said, this is all opinion based. This is my opinion. I think he's pressing a lot because, like I said, he's the only one in that lineup making money. And he seems that he has to do something.
Well, let me throw this at you, Rob. Let me throw this back at you because I saw somebody text that in on the text line, and. Look, did Brian Reynolds have a lot of protection in last year's lineup or the year before's lineup? And he was still productive. I mean, so what's the main difference? Cruz is a better hitter this year. McCutcheon's hitting decently well. The rest of the lineup is not good, but I don't think it's a lot worse protection-wise for Reynolds than it was in previous years.
Yeah, I mean, did Cruz play a whole season yet?
Well, last year coming off the injury, but Cruz right now looks like a budding star for them. Went healthy. He's missed the last couple of games. I know he came back last night and pinch hit in the ninth.
Yeah, but you know, that's like I said, that's just my opinion, man. We all got different opinions, but that's what I think he's pressing a lot, but I think he'll be all right. But like I said yesterday, when you got a phenom like Paul Skene, you got to treat it like that rookie quarterback. When you got that rookie quarterback, he's good that first year. The second year, what did they do? They go out and spend because you know you don't have to pay yet. That's what they should have did. That's what they should be doing, because you're not going to have all three of these pitchers healthy at the same time. You know?
No, right? And I mean, only one of them's here in terms of Skeens, Jones, and Chandler. Like, there's no – Chandler's not even here yet. Jones isn't going to be healthy until Alex Stump told us probably right after the All-Star break. Like, how many times are you going to get those guys right through the order? You're not going to get it much. And that's why it's just so frustrating that they did nothing in the offseason to improve this offense whatsoever. Spencer Horwitz could be a good hitter, but still, come on.
Yeah, we can't be banking on him. Like, what, he got 115 games under his belt?
He has no power. No power.
Zero. What is it, 12 homers from the first base? But, yeah, that's my point. I mean, I don't know, but the bottom line is people always call in. But the same people that's calling in are running down every week into the games. You got to stop going to those games, man. Let him see it in his pocket. Hopefully he'll sell the team.
Well, here's the thing, Rob, and I appreciate the call. It's not – one thing I don't think people understand is the gate revenue, yeah, that might drop a little bit, but they're still getting all this revenue sharing money. They're still getting all this money that every team gets from whatever it might be, revenue sharing – national TV deals, whatever, that they're still getting and they're not spending. That's the problem. Like, gate revenue, sure, that might hurt a little bit, but they're getting millions upon millions upon millions from what every team is getting with revenue sharing. And Bob Nightingale said in USA Today, that's a big thing that people are upset about. And he said it with us on Pop and Joe, that they're not spending that money. And even big market teams are getting upset, as Bill Madden was telling us, that they're not spending that type of money. That's the issue. Nick in Sacramento is on the fan. What's up, Nick?
I can just tell you, man. I love hearing you talk. You know, I love your show. But the whole Dan Orlovsky comment, that guy was like a four-string quarterback in NFL. I would love to have you guys get him on the show next week somehow, some way, with you and your other crew, and just say, hey, if you were the quarterback of the Steelers, I know you said Mason would be 0-6. What would you be, 0-16, if you played for the Steelers? I mean, that guy thinks he's the all-American broadcaster because he was brought on. I mean, where is he even coming from with that? It's so alarmingly buffoonish, if that's a word. I don't even know what to tell you.
Yeah, we'll call it a word. I do like – I will stand up for Orlovsky a little bit, Nick. I do think that he's done a good job as a broadcaster. I do think that it's a little unfair for people to make the parallel, like, awful player, really, you know, decent broadcaster. Like, even though he was an awful player – I don't want to say awful, but he had some bad moments. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't a franchise quarterback. He wasn't a starting level caliber quarterback. Maybe that was a little bit too extreme, but that he can't be a good broadcaster. Like, some people are good at one thing and not good at the other. But that take, I thought, was just flat out outrageous.
Oh, I know. I don't know. I just get, you know, this whole, I'm just frustrated. I wake up every day and I'm waiting for the news just like everybody else. And even though I'm 3,000 miles away and I grew up there, but this whole pirate thing, and then you have the Aaron Rodgers drama. I mean, this stuff is just getting old, man. And then we got to wait for a Penguins new head coach. It's just, what are we turning into? I mean, we just got, I mean, I don't know. It's just so frustrating. You keep waiting, and it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know how you guys do it every day. You guys keep it coming. You keep bringing it. Your program director's bringing it. I mean, everything. You guys, everything from, I mean, just, it's amazing. I don't know what else to say other than, I mean, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, if he doesn't show up, I got faith in this kid Will Howard being something one day. And nothing against Mason. I think Mason can do his job too. So
let me ask you that, Nick. Why do you have faith in Will Howard? Because I think he's a 6th-round guy, somebody who had a really rough regular season, ups and downs, before doing really well in the playoffs. And I think that probably helped him a little bit. But still, 6th-round guy, and some people talk as if he's going to be the answer.
For some reason. And it's obviously just what he's putting out there and how he's presenting himself. But I just feel like he's determined to come in there and really turn it up a notch, learn the system, and be one of those guys that's going to come in there and just want to really roll with it. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a 6th-round Tom Brady. I know people made the interesting comments, oh, Tom Brady Jr. No, I'm not saying it's going to be that. And no one knows that. But I think this kid is determination, where he's come from, what he's had to do to get there. Always putting Ben on the back burner. I just think he's going to bring some upside. And I know he's a 6th-round pick, but, you know, I don't know. I just, yeah, we missed the boat probably on Jackson Dart. We had these other people we could have picked, or, You know, I just think the way he's presenting himself, and I know that's not on the field performance. We won't know until he plays, but I really just think the way he is really just molded, the way he's driven. I mean, I don't know. That's what I see. Do you think that's going to be any? What's your percentage of that being a play in his success? I mean, I know. What do you think?
I just worry about him overall with the traits, Nick. And I appreciate the call. Like, nothing significantly stands out with him that makes me look at him and say, wow, starting caliber guy. His decision-making can be a little inconsistent. He threw a lot of really good passes in the playoffs, though. Like, there were a lot of accurate on-the-money balls that he was throwing. He can scramble a little bit, but I feel like the traits kind of speak for itself. There's nothing that truly stands out, and that's what kind of worries me. Texter says that I'm being too hard on IKF. Yeah, I think that the Texter has a good point there. IKF this season is hitting 276, one home run, 8 RBIs, but his OPS is 673. I think IKF is a good major league player, but I would much rather him be a Josh Harrison, bounce around a little bit, not play every day type of player. I think he can thrive in that role, where if you give him too many at-bats, then maybe he gets, a little bit, I don't know if exposed is the right word, but he gets, too many at-bats where pitchers get to see him enough and they get to identify some of his weaknesses and attack some of those weaknesses. So, yes, I will take that back. Maybe I was a little bit too hard on IKF, but I do think that they could improve in that area, and IKF would be a really good player that they could use on a good team to bounce around the diamond a little bit, play some third, play some second, play some short, and be a guy that brings okay speed. He's not Billy Hamilton on the bases, but somebody that can factor in a lot of different spots and add some good depth to this team. 412-928-9370. Joel's pick is coming up next. Joel, would you like to tease ahead to what's going on in the world of Joel's pick?
Well, we saw the Pirates fire Derek Shelton last week. Bud Black for the Rockies was fired on Sunday. There has been another MLB manager fired just today. I'll tell you about it in Joel's pick.
We'll hear about it. Up next, Austin Bechtold filling in for Bob Pompiani. It's the Bob Pompiani Show on the FAM. Check out the first episode of Breaking Bread, presented by Saloni's Italian Bread, as Hannah Meir sits down for lunch with Malzi. And the two will talk about Hannah's career, life on the road, and much more. Breaking Bread is on the 93.7 The Fan YouTube channel. You can check it out there. Plus, find out who Hannah thinks is the funniest athlete that she has encountered. It's available on the Saloni's Instagram page. Who do you think the funniest athlete that Hannah Meir has encountered, Joel? Who is your guess for that?
I've got no clue.
No guesses?
Because, she covered Penn State.
Yep.
The Pirates. I guess whoever the funniest person on the Pirates is.
Paul Saquon Barkley. Paul Alexander joins us. He follows.
Saquon is funny?
I don't know. Saquon seems like a fascinating guy. It would not surprise me if he was funny.
I think he's just unbelievably nice.
Yeah.
I don't think he's funny. I mean, I'm not saying he's not funny, but I don't think that's his, distinguishing characteristic is being funny.
Yeah, he's not like John Mulaney out here cracking jokes.
No. I don't know. Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't know if she's done any Penguins. Has she filled in over on that side at all?
I think a couple of times.
She's maybe encountered the flower. He's hysterical. Hmm. Ultimate practical joker.
Remember that commercial that they filmed where he...
They just showed that recently.
A fake being Sid walking in, taking all the sticks, and then walking out in the little flower mobile that he had.
Oh, and hotel room, on the road stuff, like moving furniture complete, like move the entirety of your hotel room and furniture out.
Yeah.
Out of the room, stuff like that. They've done that to each other. No, taping your entire bag of equipment.
Oh, I've seen those.
So you can't even get it. You can't even use it, and you're going to be late for practice or the morning shoot or whatever.
It's like you're unwrapping a present, and it takes 20 minutes on Christmas morning.
At least.
Joel, it's your pick. Your pick of the topic. What do you got as we round out the show, and we'll send it over to Paul in a matter of moments.
Well, Derek Shelton was fired not long ago. Same for Bud Black with the Rockies. The Baltimore Orioles at 15-28 have announced the firing of Brandon Hyde.
Another managerial change. And Baltimore has been just such a huge disappointment this year.
Oh.
They won, 100 games a couple of years ago?
Another
threat last year.
Great young talent.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they doing?
Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. I mean, they have talent galore. You can just rattle off names. And their pitching is just not that good.
So, you know how like the Pirates did not do a thorough job of investing in good hitters, even though they have good pitching? It's the opposite with the Orioles. They got all these really good core position players, did not do much with the pitching. I mean, they added Charlie Morton, but he stinks. Yeah.
He's like
they
40
could have done a much
old,
better job of good. Adding pitching, and it has not paid off.
I thought Charlie Morton was about to retire when he was done with the Braves.
He does say he's going to go, and then people call him and go, no.
He's like Brett Favre, you just can't get enough.
Come on back. No, they come after him. One of the nicest people, and I would just always wonder out loud, if this guy ever develops like an edge at all.
Yeah.
Just like he wants to get somebody out. He wants to strike somebody out. If he would develop that, we turned into what he turned into.
Yeah, he'd just be a bulldog.
He made the ball do stuff that no one else was doing. In his prime, he had more movement on his pitches than anyone ever. Ever.
But when he was with the Pirates, it was up and down, and it didn't seem like they were able to get the best out of him. Where Ray Searidge did such a good job with some of those reclamation projects.
Yeah, Liriano and others come to mind.
Charlie Morton fell flat.
You know what else happens in that, Austin, is that Charlie Morton decided he wanted to be good. It wasn't.
Yeah.
You always want to put it on. We don't put anything on players anymore. Oh, the Pirates didn't get anything out of him. Well, maybe he didn't push himself. Maybe he didn't try hard enough. Maybe he didn't work hard enough.
That's part of it.
Maybe he didn't care enough. I just think he needed a bit of an edge, and he somehow found it because his stuff was always filthy.
What do you make of the state of the baseball team right now? The lack of offense. They're down. Last year, they averaged 4.1 runs per game. It's at 3.1 right now. That's last in all baseball.
You know what? What? Tell me something. You know, thou challenge. You know, I have another 4 hours ahead. Tell me something to like about this baseball team. I don't want to go in. I don't want to go into the litany of what's not right. Tell me something aside from Paul Skenes that's making any sense. Donnie Kelly, I love.
Yeah. Local guy, good story.
And a good baseball guy.
Bednar, I think, is starting to come back to what he was. That's a good story.
His numbers since he's been back from Indy are very good.
O'Neill Cruz becoming a star, but now banged up. Other than that, I mean, what do you got? Brian Reynolds is scuffling.
I think
huge disappointment.
I think Horwitz, as a guy that hasn't played at all, someone you can be excited about. Because he hasn't sucked yet.
Can you be excited? I'm not that
I'm excited
thrilled
for someone
for Spencer
that
Horwitz.
For someone that hasn't sucked yet, I get excited.
I'll be excited about Nick Gonzalez coming back after he injured himself hitting a home run in Miami.
And I like, we can call him Nicky G.
Nick Gonzalez,
he likes
welcome
that.
Back.
Nicky G. Yeah. He likes to go by Nicky G.
He likes Nicky G instead of just Gonzo or Nick Gonzalez. Or
just to be perfectly honest, I have no idea what he prefers, but I like Nicky G.
I do too. Clever nickname.
He could be like a rapper. He could be a lot of things as Nicky G.
Nicky G and Polo G. Do you think they can combine on an album? Joel, that would be pretty fascinating. You're familiar with Polo G's musical game?
I am not.
No, I've never heard of Polo G.
No.
Rapper.
Polo G.
Polo G is his name, yeah.
Is it a Ralph Lauren reference? Or is it a horse, like the game Polo?
I have no idea what the reference is, why Polo G is called Polo G. No idea. But I like the music.
Your assignment. Next time I see you.
Find out why Polo G is Polo G.
I want you to let me know what's up with Polo G.
He's Paul Alexander, and he's coming up next. Paul will take you until, 4 or 5 o'clock?
I'll probably run out of gas right around 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be done.
You'll lead us into the North Shore Tavern leadoff show.
With great excitement.
With Jeff
Outdoor. With goosebumps as big as golf balls.
Paul, always good to see you. Have a
always
good show.
Always a pleasure.
All right, thanks to Nick Faribault. Thanks to Joel Nelson. Thanks to Matt Harkins for producing Bucko Talk and for Alex Stumpf joining us. Austin Bechtel signing off, sending it over to Paul Alexander. Saturday afternoon. Have a good one on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready?
Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.